Friends in Christ, on this Earth Day in 2016, I want to challenge you today. I challenge you to a ministry of restoring the creation and reconciling the world. That's no small task, but it is really at the heart of what the theological significance of a day like this is all about. I need to start by giving you a bit of a confession on this. I've never preached an Earth Day sermon before. I kind of realized that, and I thought, well, every now and then you get opportunities, and I didn't know this was going to be an Earth Day sermon until a while ago. But as I've gotten into this, it has been done interesting things. I think all of you know it, that preach regularly. You often preach to yourself as much as to anyone else. And so I want to share a little of that journey with you. When I started thinking a little more about why I maybe had not preached Earth Day sermon more often, my mind went back to what was one of those formative experiences in at least my life. As many of you know, I worked many years in the World Mission of the Church. And I remember 30 or so years ago being in Bangladesh after a flood and an earthquake and all kind of human-created devastation that had taken place at that point. And was with a Bangladeshi colleague who was expressing concern that he said, you know, in the earlier days when Bangladesh was created after Pakistan was split apart, friends from the Western world seemed to be deeply engaged and concerned with them about the global problems of racism and religious conflict and gender violence and poverty and war. And instead, these days, he was concerned that so many in the West seemed a little less concerned about this, because they'd found a new cause, environmental ministry or green ministry. I remember him saying, and it really stirred me at that point, as he described this green ministry, and he called it as a luxury issue for those who didn't face daily hard issues of race and poverty and war, issues that he described as life and death issues for Bangladeshis and for what he hoped would be for the world. At any rate, his comment and those like it in much of the global South began to shape my ministry with a real focus on these life and death issues. And while I was deeply concerned about caring for the earth, the major focus of my ministry really ended up being on reconciling the world, promoting social justice. But more recently, I've had some second thoughts about all of this, and certainly any sense that the care of creation is a luxury issue. It's not because I feel that the issues of racial and gender justice or alleviation of poverty or ending war and violence are any less important. Friends, they are more important now than they were 30 years ago. But I have more and more become convinced that restoring creation is also a life and death issue, and every bit as much a life or death issue as these other pressing concerns. I believe it is time to be both and Christians, giving our life for the ending of war and poverty and violence, but also giving our life for the restoring of creation that threatens to destroy the very future of the earth. I'm not the only one. My colleagues in Bangladesh these days would have a very different perspective on that. Dhaka, the capital city of Bangladesh, which is a huge city that looks like it's on the edge of collapse at any moment, is as projected to be the second most likely city in the world of over 1 million people to be devastated by rising sea levels within the next generation. And so the issue in a place like Bangladesh, all of a sudden what might have looked like a luxury issue, has now become an issue of life and death to the poorest and most vulnerable of the world. And it's had a particularly cruel twist to it, because the folks in Bangladesh probably had little to nothing to do with the global climate change that produces rising sea levels, and they certainly haven't benefited by the rise of globalization. But it's not only what's happening in the third world that has caused me to make a fresh commitment to climate justice and restoring creation. I think it's more looking at the deeper call of the gospel in our theological vision. I hope many of you know the work of Richard Niebuhr and his little book on the purpose of the church and its ministry. He has a fascinating notion in there. He says there are four ways we really understand God's call for our life. It's the baptismal call that we share together. It's the secret call that's God's kind of a sense of God speaking to our own heart and to ourselves. It's the ecclesiastical call from the church, but it's also a providential call. And for me, I have had, particularly this last year, so many providential things happening, so many things that have impacted my life that it couldn't be, except in some sense, but the hand of God at work in that. And they've all called me to a new commitment to restoring creation. At numerous terms, I've sensed God making this call, and I wonder if you have too. I've done it in many ways as I deal with my children. You have some of those. Some of the times children do teach you about the faith. But I have a son that went off to Emory University some years ago and came to major in human and natural ecology, only to find his parents wondering, how are you going to get a job with a major like that? Well, I need to tell you, he's got a good job with a name like that, working in renewable energy. And he has challenged me more than once of feeling like this is the decade in which we will either reach a turning point toward renewable energy, or we will go down the road with fossil fuels, with a lifestyle that can't be sustained, to which point the world will not be able to be restored. He recently sent me a TED Talk that I would suggest to all of you. It's a TED Talk by Al Gore, and the title of it is The Case for Optimism on Climate Change. In this piece, Gore, he really works both sides. He gives all the figures we all know, that the polar ice cap is disappearing, that cities like Dhaka are going underwater, that we're destroying the earth and destroying our future. But he also says this is the decade in which it is now clear that it is technologically, financially feasible to actually turn the corner on this issue of a future of the planet and restoring creation, and challenges us to do it. Another providential sign has come to me, has been over something on which I had almost no leadership at all. But the seminary where I teach and the congregation where I worship have both in the last few months adopted an Earth Care pledge as at the center of their life. And given that these are my communities, that pledge to be engaged in worship and discipleship and education and advocacy for restoring creation has made a special call to my life. I've also found this in my denomination, that I think if you look toward what's likely to happen at this coming General Assembly, probably the most urgent sense of advocacy issue to emerge will be doing something about the rise of fossil fuels. I guess most particularly when I looked at today, as I said, 8, 9 months ago when Sue gave me the nice invitation to preach while the board was here, I had no idea this would be Earth Day, and then all of a sudden it showed up. I had no idea this would be the day that the nations of the world are meeting at the United Nations in New York to sign the Paris Accord, which if we will live even partially by it, will do huge wonders to change the shape of the world. And finally, the thing that convinced me most of all that God was in this, last week here on this campus, there was a stir that was created because we found that a coyote had come to live with us. And that all of a sudden the theme of Earth Day was caring for God's creatures. And here we had one that was in our community. So at any rate, for all of these reasons, I really have sensed in my life recently a new urgency about the fact, not that we forget about reconciling the world, that would be the worst thing we could do, but that this call to restoring creation is God's unique call to us for this time. You don't have to go very far in the scriptures to find the text for this sermon. You heard that text read just a moment ago. First chapter of Genesis, all the way through the third verse of the second, is an incredible epic about God's creation, about God's intentions for the world, about the beauty of this creation, but also about our responsibility to sustain it. Unfortunately, in a place like Kentucky, we often miss the incredible power of this epic in debates among Christians and in public policy about whether the creation was in 7 24-hour days or could they have been 25 or 26, about a creationism museum and whether it should receive taxpayer monies. It's incredible that we've gotten into all these debates about for something that this text was never intended to be. It was never intended to be a history text, a science text, but it is a wonderful theological epic that points to not science and history, but to the fact that God created the world, that God pronounced it good, that God created the sun and the moon and the land and the sea and the plants and the animals, and God declared them good, that God created humanity, male and female, and people of all orders of life and conditions of life, and made them in the image of God, the foundational kind of commitment that calls us to stand for human rights for all people. And that God made us co-creators with God in caring for this earth, in caring for this universe, in caring for this environment. What better message could come to us in Earth Day 2016 than this message right at the beginning of Genesis, right at the beginning of our scripture? It's a powerful affirmation that God created the world, that it was good, that God created humanity, made us people that are mutually interdependent with one another, called us to care for the world, and even that God gave us a Sabbath and reminded us also to care for ourselves at the same time. What then does it mean for us to be not only an Earth Care institution, but Earth Care Christians? I believe it doesn't mean abandoning a commitment to reconciling the world and seeking to end its injustices, as my Bangladeshi friends feared we might do 30 years ago. 2 Corinthians 5:19 is very clear that God was in Christ reconciling the world and giving to us a ministry of reconciliation. That call to reconcile, to work for justice, to work for peace is at the heart of our calling, and we dare not ever make that a secondary calling. But in fact, it's not really an either-or choice. I think we've more and more come to realize that those who are the victims of the world's greatest injustices are also the victims of climate injustice, or the ones in which this change in our climate are the most likely to destroy. The whole notion that the city of Dhaka, who has been sinned against over and over again in history, would be the city that would be destroyed by this, is an indictment to all of us, because it's how we have lived that have more to do with what Dhaka will suffer than how the people of Bangladesh have done. Similar things could be said of what's happening in Africa as the Sahara Desert moves south and nothing is possible to be grown, or that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict gets exacerbated by running out of water for people. Even here in Louisville, though, this is also a reality. I've been struck recently by so many of the news articles of the parts of this city that are mostly victims of pollution, of new methane plants. They're not parts of the city where I live. There are parts of the city in the California neighborhood, in Rubbertown, where the destruction of the environment is also destroying the fabric of life. So justice and ecology need to go together hand in hand. But I do believe for people like me, who have been more on the side of the reconciliation of the world, this call to restore creation, it does call for a change in my life, and maybe in yours. A call to take a look at our daily habits, our eating habits, our transportation habits, where we might begin to take small steps to make this a more sustainable world. Yesterday, we dedicated the community garden. Community garden is not going to feed all of us or all the students of this place. Might do good to do something, but it's kind of one small step toward finding an alternate way to live in the world. I think we're being called to find alternate ways to adapt our homes and our yards. As I was working on this sermon last weekend, between working on parts of it, I went out and cut the grass, and my gas-guzzling lawnmower absolutely blew up in the front yard. Well, I went looking for a lawnmower, and I said, if I'm preaching this sermon, I've got to buy an electric lawnmower. And I now have an electric lawnmower where I plug the battery in. I figure it's not going to save the world, but I figure there'll be 20 gallons of gasoline that won't be spent in the course of a summer. And in some small way, this is a piece I would have never thought of before, but it's part of that call to God. God is certainly calling us to use fewer things and to recycle what we use. It's amazing. I'm grateful to God for how much we recycle around here, but I'm astounded at how much it is that we have. And it is a call to engage in activism around climate justice issues. It is a call that's probably harder to hear in Kentucky than most anywhere else, that this whole dependence on fossil fuels for our future will destroy us, and we need to be part of a movement to finding alternate energy. It's a call that the coyote who's here on this property is not simply here because there's plenty of places to go, but in a city like Louisville, we're not working adequately enough to sustain endangered species for our future. This week, the churches in Mid-Kentucky Presbytery are making disaster relief kits for places that have been recent victims of climate change. Houston, Texas, where I used to live, that is now under water that would be up to my waist. Ecuador, Japan. This is an effort, among others. It's a sign how much I love all of you, because right now at the 12 o'clock news on Channel 11 is my granddaughter talking about what is going to be done with these disaster relief kits. But I hope I get a tape to see that. But at any rate, beyond that, you know, this is an effort of the Presbytery and Louisville Seminary, Christian Connection here, to the effort was to create 500 disaster relief kits. The good news is there's going to be over 2,000. The bad news is I'm in the hauling area of tomorrow of some of those. But all of that is a sign that this is something we do well as Christians and respond to emergencies. But I think what Earth Day is saying to us, it is yes, indeed, respond to those like in Dhaka, those that need their emergency relief kits. But also take a second look at our own life and how we might begin to restore the world by living in a more sustainable fashion and being advocates for global creation justice. And I seek not only to care about reconciliation in the world among people, but reconciliation and unity with the whole created order. Well, friends, I've told you maybe too much about myself and too little about other things, but I believe the Scripture really is calling us on this Earth Week to let God nudge us to be a little more faithful, to see the next time we have a chance to buy that electric lawnmower rather than the gas guzzler, to recycle the things that we have, to take a stand for justice when justice is needed, to be a people committed both to reconciling in the world and restoring creation. And I hope and pray that God will bless you and bless us as a community as we seek to be faithful to that calling. Amen.